Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Dalet. But we are a little bit behind, and we've got our kapitan, hopefully wearing his special kapitan shirt today, to introduce the next.
By a word too much, dirty. Yeah.
Since when are captains concerned about dirt?
Well, she moved the camera so we can see.
Ah, there we go.
Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah.
Yep, that's where Richie made all his money. Sold the Brooklyn Bridge. Okay, go for it, Rich. So starting on the Mishnah here, on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beit, Mishnital Aron. So we were talking about putting down the Machateh, and putting it between the Badei Ha'orayin, but then as we pointed out in the Gemara, there were no Badei Ha'orayin. So where actually did he put it down at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, Mishanit al Aron? Even Haitasha Mimot Nivim Rishonim Ushtiya Haitanikrit, Govoa Minaret Shalosh Etzbaot, Ve'alea Hayanotein. So there was this rock that was there that had been exposed and, so to speak, by the Nevi'is from the days of the Nevi'im Rishonim, which refers to the time that David and Shmuel were being Isaac in Nayot, which until then nobody knew what that was. And that, turns out, was the accretion rock, the Shtiyah, which the Gemara will explain. And it was three etzba'ot above the ground level, that's all. And that was on the Mokom Ha'orayin, and that is where the Kohen was to put the Ketoret. So then, after doing the Ketor, getting back now to the next step. Natalat Adam Mimisha Yam Mimarespo. The next step was that it was time to do the Dam of the Tamid. Remember that we had left the Dam back in the preceding exciting episode with someone that was sitting there stirring it to make sure that it wouldn't end up being Nikrash. And so now he took it from there, went back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nichnas l'makom shenichnas, amad b'makom she'amad, and standing in the same place that he had been before, he's maza towards the orin. Achat l'ma'ala v'sheva l'mata. Now, when it says l'ma'ala v'lamata, it does not mean that he was mitkaven l'hazot on the actual porochet, neither l'ma'ala nor l'mata. None of this blood was meant to get onto the kaporet we're up to here. But sending it to the prophet, none of the blood was meant to actually get touching on to the kaporet, but towards the kaporet lamala and towards the kaporet lamata, as we saw before in Shkolim, we spoke about this, elakimatzlif. What he was doing was, the way Rashi understands it, it was as if he were the Shliach Bezdin who was giving Malkus, and that would mean that it doesn't mean all in the same place, achas l'mala v'sheva l'mata, but rather achas l'mala and then sheva, each one going beneath the other. So the same way that the Shliach Bezdin wouldn't hit the same place twice, it would go down the guy's back. Same thing is true over here. It was moving down one and then lower and then lower and then lower. That's Rashi's approach. Not all the Rishonim are maskim, that's what it means. They think about it, as we learned in Shkolim, in the direction that his hand was facing, were his fingers facing up or his fingers facing down, but it was not necessarily an Indian that you had to go one beneath the other. Now we're going to explain in the Gemara why we have the minyan specifically, and in this way. And he would be Mone Achat, which was the remez to the Al HaKaporet, and then the Lifnei HaKaporet Sheva Pamim, so he would separate those minyanim, and he would go Achat, Achat V'Achat, Achat V'Shtayim, Achat V'Shalosh, Achat V'Arba, Achat V'Chamesh, Achat V'Shesh, Achat V'Sheva. I'm sure you're aware of the beautiful song forgot his name. Who remembers the name?
Yishai Rebo.
Yishai Rebo has an absolutely lovely song on this Mishnah, starting from the words of Nichnas l'makom shenichnas, v'amad b'makom shamad. Stunning song. And just quoting the Mishnah. And okay, so then he would after finishing this, he would go out into the Heichal, but he would first put down the Dam of the Par, on this little kan, on this little stool that they had, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, in the Heichal, and then, Heviu lo et ha-sa'ir, so it means he went back out, obviously, stood beinu olam v'lemizmeach, they brought the Seir, which had been standing. Remember where it says that he was next to Shar Niknar when over there he did the Hagralah. But now when it comes time for the Shechita, we brought the Seir to the same place that the Par had been, Bein Olam v'Lemizbeach. And now it was time for the Shechita HaSeir. So they brought it there, Bein Olam v'Lemizbeach, he shechted it, and he was Mikabel b'Mizrak et Damo. Now notice, it's very interesting that he did not, it does not say over here that he was karatz and he gave it to somebody else to be gomer sashchita. So some of the mafarshim learned that that's bedavka not said. I mean, the parsha is okay, so we relied on what he did with the par. But as many mafarshim point out, there's a big difference between a par and a soyer. A par is one heck of a big animal, and its neck is quite thick. It is a job to do the shechita of the par. Masha Enkin, when you're talking about a soyer, I mean, it's almost absurd to say he was courageous, then he passed the knife to somebody else. I mean, like, it's a tenth of a second job to do the entire shechita and to do not only rova simonim, but to make sure that there's nothing in the way and that the vridim are cut and so on. So maybe the Mishnah leaves it out bedavka because, in fact, he did not give it to somebody else, and he still had enough time to do the whole shechita, grab the kli for the Kabbalas Adam, the Mizrak, and to be Mekabel Adam. In any event, he was Mekabel Mizrak Adamo, of course, because the Kohen has to do, Kohen Gadol has to do everything. So he did that as well. And then, again, Nichnas l'makom shenichnas, v'yamad b'makom shamad, v'yizah mimenu achas l'mala, v'sheva l'mata, v'lo haya mitkaven, etc., etc., v'kacha yamoneh, achat, achat, v'achat, etc., etc. Yatza, then he goes out, and he puts the blood of the soyer down on the second kanazahav, the golden, what would be the word for an amud? It's not really a stool, a base. A kan is a base. So he put it on the second golden base that was in the Heichal, and then he would be able to pick up the dam of the par again, and he would do the Zrikas Adam Keneged the Porochet. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there was only one golden base that was there, so he had to pick up the dam of the par first before he was able to set down the other blood of the Seir. So therefore, nota dama par, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and only then was he menir dama sayir. And then he went to the parochet. Now with the dama par, he was yizom imenu ala parochet, sheneged aron mibakut, achas lamala, v'shev lamata, v'lo haya mitkaven, ela kematzlit, v'kacha yamoneh, etc., etc. Then he was nota dama imenu al haparochet, sheneged aron mibakut, achas lamala, v'shev lamata. Then he would go out, he would take the dama sayir, not Adama Sawyer, and he would put it down in Niyag Dama Par, and he was Yizah Mimeno Ala Parochet, the same way. Shegeneged Aron Mibachutz, Achas Lamala, Sheva Lamata. Fine. So after finishing the Dama Sawyer on the Parochet, he would then pour the two bloods one into the other. Ira Dama Par, Lotoch Dama Sa'ir, because it says, V'lakach Midama Paro Midama Sa'ir, mashma together. And he would then pour back from the now full single Mizrak, he would now pour back into the other one to make sure that the Dam was well mixed, the Dama Paro Midama Sa'ir, and then we'll move on in the next Mishnah to the Zrikas Hadam onto the Mizbeach HaZahav. Now note that what the Mishnah says is fascinating, because it doesn't say, which we are used to using the word, Misha Nignaz Ha'aron, when the Aron was hidden. Doesn't say that. It says Misha Nital Ha'aron, when the Aron was taken away. So in what sense was the Aron taken away? Misha Nignaz Lo Katani Ela Misha Nital. This means that our Mishnah is going according to the Mandi Omar, that the Aron was not hidden in time by Yoshiyahu, and that in fact it was captured and it was taken to Bavel. So this is going according to that shita, and that is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, Titania. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Aron Galala Bavel, because it says Beferish in the Pasuk, Ulechuvat Hashana, after the year had passed, Shalach HaMelech Levuchanetzra V'yevi'ehu Bavela, he went ahead and he brought Yehoyachin to Bavel. Because when he got back, his advisors told him, you got to be out of your mind putting this guy in. He's from the same family. He's going to cause a whole rebellion against you. And by the time the next year had come along, he sent an army, took actually Yehoyachin, brought him with, note the words, im klei chemdat beit Hashem. What is the klei chemdat beit Hashem? So that we know the chemdat, that we have that same lashon, machamad. This is the machamad lebavcha that is going to be taken, that Achav was warned about, is a reference to the Sefer Torah. Over here, it means the Aron HaBris, which had the Sefer Torah and the Luchas, and it says that he brought them, Vayavi Eo Bavela. And that was when he made Tzidkiyo, Vayam Lechet Tzidkiyo Achiv, Ayudav Yerushalayim. Fine, now, that is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, but we find that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also, based on a different pasuk, also says the same thing. And he says, Aron Galal Bavel, Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Hinei Yamim Ba'im. This was the horrible story about Melech Hizkiyo that he showed when he got better, and they sent messages from all over the world to him. And what happened was that he showed off everything he had. So they came from Bavel, and he shows the diplomatic mishlachat, he brings them in, and he shows them all of the kalim and everything. And Yeshayahu comes and tells him, very nice, so what'd you show these guys? He says, oh, I showed them. He says, yeah, okay. So, hinei yamim ba'im, v'nisa kol asher beveitecha v'asher atzru avotecha ad hayom hazeh bavel, lo yivater davar, nothing will be left. And it'll all be dragged to Bavel. You want to expose things to these people? They'll take them. And the lo yivater davar means even the aseret hadvarim will be taken to Bavel. So it's even the list is horrifying. So this according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is a reference to the aseret hadibra shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, not true. The orain was b'mekaymoni gnaz. We know for sure that the Oren is still there, because if you take a look in the pasuk of the original binyan, so it says, Vayarichu habadim vayera'u rashei habadim min hakodesh ha'pnei advir v'lo yera'u hakutza. Fine, that we'll talk about in a moment. But the end of the pasuk is, Vayiyusham ad hayom hazeh. So when you say Vayiyusham ad hayom hazeh, it has to mean that they are still there. So where are they? They're nignaz. But they're definitely still in their place. Now, this approach to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, according to which Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai agrees with Rabbi Eliezer, is not true according to Ula. Because Ula says over a story, the Amar Ula, Sha'al Reb Matya ben Charash. So this was the story when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went to Rome, and they had appointed him to be a shliach to the Roman Senate, to argue against, can you imagine having Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai appear in the House of Representatives? Oh my God. So they had him argue for the repeal of the Gezeres against the mitzvahs that the Romans had made. So he was in Rome. While he was in Rome, he stayed in the home of Reb Matya ben Charash. And Reb Matya ben Charash asked him while he was there, Sha'al Reb Matya ben Charash at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Beromi, v'chimiachash Rabbi Eliezer melamdenu pa'am rishona v'shniya, that the Oren was gola l'bava. Let me ask you something. I mean, how come Reb Matya ben Charash has got all of these rayas, two rayas? Wait a minute, says the Gemara, interrupting. Wait a minute, what do you mean two rayas? We said Rabbi Eliezer brought one raya from the pasuk, that first pasuk, right? Which was the Tshuvat HaShana Shalach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar. That I know, but what was the other Raya? The first one, Rishona, yes, Hadi Amran. You said, Vayivyeh Bavel and Klechem Dat Beit Hashem. What second pasuk did Rebbe Eliezer bring? Because we're missing that. Mayi, Tichtiv, he brought the pasuk of the Vayetse Mibat Zion Kol Hadara. And he darshins the Kol Hadara means Kol Chadara, all that was in the Chadrei Chadarim, meaning the Kodesh HaKodashim, the room within the room, all of that was taken as well. It was Yotza Mibat Zion. So what do you say about this, asks Reb Matya ben Charash to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. All of this in the story being told over by Ula. And Ula says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai told him it's not true. Not like the shita that we just had, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai agreed with Rabbi Eliezer, and he told him, Ani Omer, Aaron bebekomo nignaz. It says vayarichu abadim ayushama ad hayom hazeh. So therefore, it means it's still there. Omele Rabba Leula, I don't understand. Where are you learning that from? From the words vayushama ad hayom hazeh? Well, you think every time it says vayushama ad hayom hazeh, it means till the day that you're reading it, or till the day it was written? You think ad hayom hazeh means leolam? How do you understand the pasuk in Shoftim? Ve'et ha'yevusi yoshev Yerushalayim lo horishu b'nei Binyamin v'yeshi v'yevusi et b'nei Binyamin b'Yerushalayim ad hayom hazeh. Do you really think that that's what it means? That throughout history, at any moment in history, you would look at this pasuk, you could say, yes, the Yevusi are there living with Binyamin in Yerushalayim. That's ridiculous. I mean, even if you want to tell me, you know, like the most heated Zionists, the Jews have lived in an uninterrupted presence in Eretz Yisrael for the past 3,400 years and so on. I'll prove to you that that's not true. And you want to say that what it means over here is that there was one guy left over from Yevusi and his DNA can be traced back to Yevusi, and there's another couple of guys from Binyamin, and when it says that the Yevusi with Binyamin, ad hayom hazeh, it really means no, it can't mean that. How do I know it can't mean that? I'll tell you. Because, Va'atanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, 52 shana lo avar ish b'Yehuda. Nobody lived in the entire area for 52 years. And that's exactly the amount of time from the actual Churban of Yerushalayim, which was in the 18th year, remember, after Yoyachin had been sent away. And then it took an additional 52 years before we had the Koresh proclamation. So that was 52 years between, that's the 18 together with the 52 is the 70 years of Golos Bavel that it refers to. And those 52 years were absolutely disastrous. There was not a soul there. Shenemar al harim es sabichi v'nei v'al naot midbar kina. And what is the kina? Kinitz tu. Completely destroyed me bli ish over. That you didn't even hear a bird chirp. No, the du'alochu was completely and totally desolate from all of nature, from all of humanity, completely. And this was 54 years, 52 years is a remez actually in the pasuk. Because since it says beferish that there was no mikne, lo shamu ko mikne, why do you need to repeat that you didn't hear any animals? I mean, mikne is animals. So what are you taking me ad behima? I mean, if you would have said chaya, I could say, okay, fine, chaya is not mikne, but you said behima. So to use behima, it must be that it's a remez ad behima until the year of behima. And behima, begematria, is 52, which works in historically, exactly, to those 18, taking out those 18 years. And there's another brighter that Rabbi Yossi Omer, that there was 7 years in which the klola, of Gofrit Vamelach, Srefa Kolarza, Lotizara, Volotatzmiach, Voloyalaba Kol Esev. This is the way that in the Tochacha the Torah describes, and people are going to ask, how could something so awful have happened? So that, and the answer to that was, because Allah Sherazvu et Brit Hashem Elokei Avotam, and we'll see that that's necessary to understand the drasha here, that 7 years was Mikuyam. How do I know 7 years? Gofer Sumelach? Says Rabbi Yochanan, how did Rabbi Yossi get that from? Because he learns it out of the story in Daniel, the vision of Daniel, which was the Higbir, the Brit L'Rabim. L'Rabim means to the G'doylei Ha'uma. Shavua Echad, it says over there. And Shavua Echad is 7 years. And we learn out Brit from the Pasuk in Daniel to Allah Sherazvu et Brit Hashem Elokei Avotam, which is the response to Ma Choria Af HaGadol Hazeh of Gofrit Umelach, and so on. So that means that Brit was Mekuyam for 7 years. But in any event, you can't say Ad Hayom Hazeh is meant to be applied whenever it's read. So what kind of diuk is that? Good question that is asked, that Ula has to answer. Omar lay, so Ula answered it. He said, oh, there's a big difference. If it says sham, or if it doesn't say sham, because the idea of sham means that, okay, it's exactly as the way it was. And it doesn't say that, but Yevusi Yoshev Yerushalayim, that there was Shom Ad Hayom Hazeh. But over there it says Vayusham Ad Hayom Hazeh. That must be the diak of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Pasuk. Oh, really now, says Rava. Kol Echa Dechtiv Shom, it does mean Li'olam. I'll show you where it says Shom, and it also doesn't mean Li'olam. Because it says, Umehem min B'nei Shimon, Ochula Har Seir, which would mean that these B'nai Shimon that had attacked Esav at Har Seir with 500 men, they went there and they blew them up and they destroyed Amalek and Har Seir, and they're there Ad Hayom Hazeh. You're trying to tell me that we have a settlement of B'nai Shimon in Har Seir Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now, if you do try to tell me that, my problem with it is that it says that Sancheriv Melech Ashur invaded all of those areas. Bilbel Kol Aratzot, one of his policies was moving around the populations of all of these countries to make sure that they wouldn't make him any trouble. And it says Beferish in the Pasuk, Va'asir Gvulot Amim Ve'atudotehem Shosti, which means that I took all of their people, their Choshva people, and I moved them from place to place. So you can't say that Shimon is still there to Yufta. Okay, fine. Anyway, Omer of Nachman Tana, V'chachomim Omrim, Aaron, Belishkat, Dira, Itzima, Yaganu. So this is yet another Shita, because what we're talking about over here, the Pashtus was the analysis of the Pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech had made a mokum for the Orain, which was still Shom. So in other words, this was built on a different level, or a different dimension, whatever, but it was underneath the place where it is now, Ad Hayom Hazeh. That was the vision of the original Nevi'ahs that had been given HaKol Bichtav Miyad Hashem, Alai Yiskil, included that Mokom. The Chachamim say that, no, actually, they had put it into the Lishkas Dira Eitzim underneath the floor. And Omer of Nachum Bayitrach, Afanan Namitanina, we had this Maisa in Shkolim, of Maisa B'Koin Echad Shayimitas Seik. He was playing around, and he shouldn't have been playing around. He noticed that one of the floor tiles had apparently been lifted and replaced, and it wasn't smooth. So he went out to tell somebody, Bavo Diot Chaveiro, and because he immediately suspected, something is hidden there. Veloy speak Ligmorata Davar, he wasn't given the time to live to finish describing what he had seen. Achiat Stanish Matoni dropped dead on the spot. So then they understood that there must have been that this was meant not to be exposed. Viadubi Chuchisham Aron Ganuz. What do you mean he was playing around? What was he doing? Mayhavi Ovid, like why did he get into so much trouble? Rabbi Chalbo mitasek b'kardumoya. The idiot was playing around with his hatchet. So some say that if the hatchet, which was made out of barzel, fell on the ground, so then it means that he was merim, the kli that is mekatzer yomav shel adam, and he ended up throwing it at the Mokum Ha'orein, which was horrific, right? Because, I mean, that's the whole idea. You're not even allowed to have any type of clay barzel b'chlal working in the Beis HaMikdash on the stones and so on. So he was supposed to only be using it carefully on the Eitzim to be able to take out the worms if there were any found in the Eitzim. So because of that, he wasn't careful and he deserved the end that he had. And it was not Flasham, actually, as we'll see. So there were two Kohanim. He was there with a friend. They were both Balei Mumin, because remember that that's what the Kohanim Balei Mumin used to do. And they were Matliim Beitzim, and one of them dropped his kardom, and it fell there, and fire came out of where it fell, Ve'achalato. And Epipashabiz ate him up, ate the Kohen up. Rav Yehuda Rami. Rav Yehuda says, actually, the first part of that pasuk is very weird. I mean, you're telling me the last part, you know, Vayusham Ad Hayom Hazeh. Okay, fine. I understand. We talked about that. But how do you understand the first part of the pasuk, which contradicts itself? It says Vayera Uro Sheabadim. I don't understand. It says that you could see the badim from the outside. Vayarichu Habadim Vayera Uro Sheabadim. And then it says, but Veloyera Uachutza. understand, was it visible or was it not visible? How can the same pasuk says Vayera'u and then says Velo Ye'ira'u? Okay, it's that. That's goofy what it's saying. You could see that they were present, but you could not see them. That's the pshat. Nearing the Einam nearing. Tanan Yami Hachi, Vayera'u Roshe Abadim. What does this imply? So you might think that the Isser of taking out the Badei Ha'aron means that you're not allowed to move them back and forth in the supporting hardware that held it, right? So you might think that it means it had to be exactly in that place. But the truth is that the Badei Ha'aron were actually movable, except that they were bigger on the outside, so you couldn't pull them out. And what they did was is they bedavka moved the Badei Ha'aron, said that they would come all the way up to the parochet. Which parochet? The parochet was in the first Beis HaMikdash where there was an Arayin. So over there, when they had the traxin, the entryway between the traxin, through the traxin, between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh, was covered by a parochet, which just covered the doorway. Nothing like the parochet, the gigantic parochet that we talked about afterwards, that took the place of the traxin. So they took the badim of the Arayin and brought them all the way through the parochet. Now, you might think that means they cut a hole through the parochet. Yochol oyu mekarin beparochet v'yotzin. No. Talmud Omar v'lo yera'u achutza. They were not visible from outside of the parochet, but they pushed up against the parochet. Why did they do that? Because haketza dochakinu boltin v'yotzin beparochet. They were meant to stick out through the parochet v'nirin kishnei dadei isha. So they were meant to look like a woman's breasts that were sticking out through her blouse. So even though the woman is not going to walk around topless, but lamaisa, it happens that every time a woman walks out, her breasts are very visible, which is a strange kind of situation. If you're trying to cover something, then why are we exposing something? But that's good for the whole point, that there's always this sense of there is that woman behind the curtain, so to speak. And that's exactly what Klal Yisrael was meant to feel about the Aron HaBris. There are those breasts that are there that still attract us and that still suckle us, and they're there. And you should never forget that. So that's the point of bolting. They were near Im Veinon near Im. And those breasts, as we know, were connected Moshe and Aaron and the suckling of the Torah. And were very important to remember always that that was the attraction that you felt to the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll see later when we talk about the Kruvim. And so that was the point, that the pasuk is not a contradiction. It's true they weren't mikareya, but they were able to be seen mibachutz. And bolten v'parochet. Shenemar tsror hamor dodi li bein shaday yalin. So my lover lives between my breasts. So this is the love of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer of Katina, b'sha'a sh'ayu Yisrael olin l'regel, when Klal Yisrael would come up for Yontiv, so they would open up that parochet, and they would show them the Kruvim on the Arayin, and these Kruvim were making love. One of them was a male, and one of them is a female, and there they are wrapped in each other. And they say to them, Ru'u chibatchem lifnei ha'makom. This is the sign of how beloved you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because one of these is keneged, the presence of the Shechina, and one of them, well, I shouldn't say that, one of them is keneged, the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of them is keneged, the side of Yisrael, and together the Shechina is Shaira there. So that shows the love, chibatchem ki chibat zachar v'nekeva, it's like a male and female making love. Masiv Rav Chista, we would show such a thing in public? Doesn't it say that even the Levian who were going to be carrying the Arayin were not allowed in because v'lo yavo lirot kivalat hakodesh, they could not come in until Arayin uvanav covered over the Kruvim. So we're going to expose this to regular people? If the Levian, who were the ones that were appointed for actually carrying the Arayin, would die if they would see such a thing? That's crazy. How could we do that? V'yomer Rav Yudah Amar Rav, this is a reference, kivalat HaKodesh, b'sha'at hachnasat ha'kelim l'nartek shalehem, that they weren't allowed in while the kelim were being put into their covering. Omer Reb Nachman, this is such an incredible Gemara. Omer Reb Nachman, look, that is a reference to the Mishkan in the Midbar. The Mishkan in the Midbar was a time in which Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were getting used to each other. So that's like a Kala that she's still in her father's home. That's all you need is for the chosin to go in and start peeking through the peek hole while she's getting undressed. So, of course, over there they would be Chayiv Misa. But now you're talking about a mature Klal Yisrael and a relationship that is hundreds and hundreds of years old. You're telling me I can't see the Kala undressed after all of this time? So in the Midbar, astonishingly, you'd be Chayiv Misa if you're a Levi, who would see such a thing? And at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we open it up for all of the kids and everybody to see. And yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes love with Yisrael, and now you're supposed to know about that. Oh my God. There's a lot of Hasidic discussions about how this means that, it's really very important, because it means that the Madregas, this is Nogea very much, the whole issue about the exposure of Kabbalah, Bizbanas, and so on, right? So things that were once considered to be your Chayav Misa for knowing, like the story Hayat Tinok Echad Sheivim B'Chashmal and the Gemara Chagiga, that there is a maturation process of humanity in which things that were once considered to be like inconceivable that would be exposed to immature people, that now it is something that every child knows about. And we know that this is the development of science, this is the development of sexual awareness, this is the development of our understanding of the subconscious, and so on and so forth. Things that once upon a time you would be killed for even mentioning in public. And the idea over here is that this is mamish built on the Gemara and on the Psukim. This is not an observation. It's an astonishing Gemara. And this means that all of those controls that were put in, don't expose this, and don't expose this, and don't. It's true at the time. And it can go, the difference can be from a chi of Misa to the joy of Ruchi Bascha. It's amazing. Fine. So this is the same thing. Moshe Lekala. Kozman Shi Bebeit Aviyah. Tznua Mi Bala. She's not going to be exposed to this boy. But once she moves in now, the Beit Chamia and so on, ain't it Tsunami Bala? So now she's with him. Same thing. Masiv Rav Chana Bar Rav Katina. How can you say that? In our Mishnah says that there was this kid that dropped his hammer and he's killed because he knows where the Aron is. And you're telling me that they would open up this to everybody? I mean, it was still the same thing, even in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was still the same Hakpada, not to be exposed. So how can you say that nowadays everything is mutter? Oh, Marley, hold on a minute. You're talking about the Kala was divorced. Went into Golas. Then they got back together again. Well, when you get back together again, you know, you got to start from the beginning. So this is like Danny Dekcher. I'll take you out. I'll treat you like a regular person. I'm going to make you, I'll bring you flowers. Exactly. So you have that whole period in which you have to start courting again. So if that's the case, it's Chazra L'chibata Rishona. That sense of hidden desire and so on comes back to the way it was in the beginning. Okay, now, I want to understand what we're talking about over here, because when did this happen, that they would show the Kruvim? I mean, B'maya Skina. Inam of the Migdash Rishon. There was no parochet in the Migdash Rishon. I thought there was a traction. Now, the Gemara didn't know yet at this point that there was a parochet in front of the opening. And if we're talking about Migdash Sheni, when there was a parochet, and we said that we spread the parochet so that people could see all of this going on, so then there were no Kruvim, because the Kruvim had been hidden together with the Oran. Miavi Kruvim. And says the Gemara, Li'olam the Migdash Rishon. But there was a parochet on the doors. We know that there was a parochet covering all the doors, because this is a parochet to Babi. The Omer Rabbi Zera Amarav Shilosha Asar Parochot Ayubi Migdash. If you take a look how many parochot, there's a lot more than the one parochet that everybody knows about. There were seven Keneged Shiva Sha'arim, and then there were two. By one of them was the Pesach of the Heichal, and one of them was the Pesach of the Ulam. And then there were Shtayim Bidvir, and there were Shtayim Kenegdan Baaliyah. So that we had the actual Parochet, and that we had one of them, and the gateway to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the Aliyah on the second floor, we had the same Parochot, even though nobody would go up there. So that was the Parochet that we were talking about, that they would spread aside for people to be able to see. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, no, the truth is it could be referring to the parochets of the second Beis HaMikdash. And when it says that they showed everybody the Kruvim, it wasn't the real Kruvim. It was the Kruvim of Tzurata. The Kruvim means that we know, Dichtiv, that Kol Kirot HaBayit, all of the Kirot of the Bayit were Mesav Kalapituchei Mikloot. The walls were covered with these beautiful little engravings and pictures. And this went all around. It was Kruvim, Timrot, Piturei Tzitzim, and Kola Kruvim Vetimrot was all over the place. So these were on the Kalim, they had these little pictures, and on the walls they had these little pictures. Now these little pictures were very pornographic pictures because they were all of Kruvim that were making love. And these would be all around the walls and on all of the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what it was that they showed them. And this was Tzipah Zahav, Mishar Lamechuka, and it describes what was on all of these pictures. Kemoar Ish Veluyot, like a man who was making love very graphically to his escort. A luyot is an escort. So that means that basically the Beis HaMikdash was full of pornography. And therefore, Amar Rabba bar Rav Shila, that this is ki'ish, when it says it's ki'ish ha-mu'ural b'levayah shelo, it's like a man making love with this woman that is coming along with him, the levayah, which is the whole remes to the Leviim and to the Leviosan and to the way that the Shekhinah continues with us. And therefore, it says Reish Lakish, exactly, this was a horror, because when the Goyim invaded and they got into the Eichal, they see all of these pornographic pictures, and they took them and they peeled them off of the wall to be able to go all around the world and show people, you know, these Jews that claim to be so holy and everything, you know what's in the Holy of Holies? Pornography. Otsien l'shuk v'amru, Yisrael alalu, shebirchatan bracha v'kilaltan kilala. These are the highest of the high. Ha, ha, ha. Yasku bedvarim alalo. This is what concerns them. Miyad hizilum. And this brought about a tremendous zilzal in the covet of Yisrael, in the covet of the Shekhinah, to take the love, to turn it into pornography. Shenema ko mechabdea hizilua ki ra'u ervata. They saw the nakedness. And obviously this was exactly the issue, that there must have been a yerida in the real love. And it had elements of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it really became pornographic. And because of that was a tremendous, tremendous, the lowest blow of all at the time of the Churban. Now this rock that was the place where it stood in place of the Oren was called the Evan HaShetiyah. Why? So the Gemara explains from the Braita that it was called Shetiyah because shemimena hushtat ha'olam, the earth was actually formed out of this stone, which is going according to Mandi Amar, who holds that mitzion nivra ha'olam, the Tanya. It says in the Braita like this, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, olam me'emtza'ito nivra. The earth formed around some kind of gravitational center. That we see from the posik beferish. Because it says in the Pasuk, Bitseket afar lamutzak uregavim yedubaku. So when there was a gathering into a single solid piece of this during planetary formation, so first you have enough of pieces that become a mutzak, you get one solid piece that forms a gravitational well. And then regavim yedubaku, then everything starts clumping around that, until you finally have a complete planet that's formed. And therefore, it would be that stone that we're talking about, that ultimately, where is the first piece of material that came out of the cloud that was going to form the earth? it became the Eben HaShisia. And that is why it has the chashivas of everything being built around it, because in a sense, the heart of the matter represents what it's all about and what it's all for from the very beginning. So it's like the navel, so to speak, of the world. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Olamin Atzdadim Nivra, Shenemar Ki LaSheleg Yamer HaVeoretz, VeGeshem Atar, VeGeshem Mitrotu Zonah. Note that Geshem means the formation of solid physics, right? So that's the Gashmias. Where does Geshem come from? So he's saying that this Geshem is a metaphor for the rains that come from all the four sides in terms of the weather. And so, too, we shouldn't look at it as being a single mutzak, but rather there's this gradual cooling in which everything starts from all the sides and the earth cools. So, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Evin Yarak Adash Baruch Hu Beyam Mimenu Nishtat Olam Shenemar Ama Adanel Hudbohu. So this was when Eov was told, Alma Adanel Hudbohu O Mi Yara Evin Pinata. So apparently there was a Yara Evin Pinata. And the Chachomim say that ultimately it was Mitzion Nivra. Shenemar Mizmar La Asaf El Elohim Hashem Mitzion Michlal Yofi. What's Michlal Yofi? Mimenu hu muhlau yafyor shel olam. It incorporated, it subsumed everything that was to become the beauty of the earth in all of its detail. Tanya Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol omer ele todot ha-shamayim v'aretz behi bar'am b'yom ha'asot ha-shem elokim eretz v'shamayim. So this is, it means ele todot ha-shamayim v'aretz, on the day that of the asi of the bria of eretz v'shamayim, means that todot shamayim are actually from the Shamayim, and that we understand that everything that we have that we call Todot HaShamayim, all of the galaxies, all of the stars, and so on, all of that is considered to be an outgrowth of the concept of Shamayim, and Todot HaAretz are all evolved out of the Aretz. And that's why it says, Elo Todot Shamayim V'Aretz. We're talking about an evolutionary process both in the Shamayim and in the Aretz, which took a very long time for people to understand, that this is literally toldos. It's that which grows out of, and that you start with exactly the way that you start with biology. You just start with that single seed. And therefore, all of this together, v'chachomim omrim, so that in the end, both of them, all of the toldos ha-shamayim and all of the toldos ha-aretz, are ultimately expressions of the Michlal Yofi of Tzion. So Elu ve'elu mitzion nivro, shenema mizmor le'asaf el Elohim Hashem. This is the Diber Vayikra Haaretz mivizrach shemesh ad mevo'o. And then it goes on to say mitzion Michlal Yofi in the next pasuk. Mitzion Michlal Yofi. So this is the Diber Vayikra Haaretz mivizrach shemesh ad mevo'o. Everything from one side to the earth to the next.